Hello, world of the internet. My name is Simon Miller, and welcome to Why with Simon Miller. Imagine it was anything different. Imagine the show was called Why with Simon Miller, and then you clicked in, and it was like Why with Pete Donaldson. That's a real person. Thanks a lot, brain. You could have come up with a fake person. Could have chosen anyone. Could have come up with, like, Lily Bucket the Hammer. There's no one called Lily Bucket the Hammer, but I didn't, and I went and screwed it up. Anyway, this is my brand new podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. We're only on episode 3, and already the numbers are doing all right, both here on YouTube, and we're also on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify. We're on everything. And not even the wrestling podcast on everything, because I had problems with SoundCloud. But look, please, if you're listening to this on audio podcast, thanks so much. Make sure you subscribe, leave it a review. And if you're watching on YouTube, do this. Whichever one you don't do, make sure you do the other ones. If you're watching on YouTube, do the iTunes podcast thing. And if you're on iTunes, do the YouTube thing. YouTube, just search for Simon Miller. I'm there. Nice and easy. It would be a pleasure to see. And please do subscribe to my YouTube channel. Love seeing the subscription numbers go up. It makes me happy. And of course, all supported by patreon.com/SimonMiller316. And if you are live on YouTube, you can ask a question using the super chat. That's what I've been told how it works, so that's what we do. We're going to talk about Game of Thrones today. Don't worry, there's no spoilers. We're going to talk about spoilers too. I've got my notes down here that I'm looking at. So we're going to talk about, we're not going to spoil anything because that's not what this is about. And I'm going to be completely honest with you. This is going to blow a few people's brains. So I love Game of Thrones. I think it's a really good television show. And when I first, you know, I got on board of it about 4 or 5 years ago, whenever it was so old, I went out and bought the box set, the DVD box set. That's how old we're talking. And I watched the first series in around about 3 days. Like, it really got me. Then I got to the Red Wedding in later series. I was like, this is the best thing ever. This is the best thing ever. This is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. Obviously not, but it's up there. But we got to the end of season five. And life just got in the way. So as of right now, of talking, again, this is an honest, transparent podcast. I haven't seen season 6 or 7. And obviously now we're on season 8. So you're like, Simon, well, what gives... Why are you qualified to talk about this? Well, I'm going to tell you. And this is going to tie into other stuff we're going to talk about, which is spoilers. Not spoilers of Game of Thrones, but the idea of what a spoiler is. I don't care about spoilers. Think of that. I don't care, to the point that if I see an interesting headline on Twitter trending topics for Game of Thrones season 8, I click it. Because I just want to know what people are thinking about it. Anyway, I just wanted to get that out there. So I do know the ongoing story. And I'm still going to go back and watch all 3 seasons. I'm just an odd tamale when it comes to those things. And I'm proud on it. So here's the thing I wanted to talk about more specifically. And again, this is one of those things where either you know or you don't know. But once you do know, you can come back and listen to the podcast. Because podcasts are... Hang on. There's a guy in the... I'm removing that. Don't do spoilers in the... There was a spoiler in the chat. Don't do that. If I see anyone spoiling stuff in the chat, look, just because I don't care about spoilers doesn't mean other people don't. I kind of respect it, kind of don't. But we're going to talk about that. But don't do it in the YouTube thing here. That's not here. Anyway, here's my point. We're getting off talk. So I know what the deal is. And once you know what the deal is in regards to season 8, I think it's episode 4. It is episode 4. You can come back and listen to the podcast. The podcast is evergreen content. That's why I thought I can talk about. So people are so mad. Game of Thrones fans are so mad. They have started a petition. And I was like, "You, this is crazy. This is absolutely crazy." Because it's like a new trend ever since Twitter and social media in general gave everybody a voice. And I'm all for that. Like, I'm like, man, if social media can give people a voice and that voice can be used for good, that's awesome. But sometimes what seems to happen is we get a creative endeavor. We get something like Game of Thrones or other things I'm going to talk about today, such as Mass Effect 3 or the Sonic the Hedgehog movie trailer. And there is such a big outcry. There's such a pouring of, you know, just disdain and upset and all these things that the people in charge feel the need to either respond or, in some cases, actually change up what is their passion project, I guess, for lack of a better term. Like, I don't believe that anybody working on the Sonic movie isn't passionate about it. Same with Mass Effect 3 and same with Game of Thrones. Now, nothing's going to change in Game of Thrones. 6 episodes, they're all written, they're all done. But that hasn't stopped people from going out there and making a petition to say that the Game of Thrones story arc should change. Which really makes me laugh for 2 reasons. Look, I love it. And I think if you want to be that loud and that proud about it, you absolutely should. I think signing a petition is a bit much because it's not going to get you anywhere in this regard. But what I find fascinating is, we'll talk about characterization in general. What I find fascinating is this thought that if you have an idea in your head of what a character should or shouldn't do, even based on the past episodes, that if they even deviate from that one iota to what you perceive it to be, and I've seen some argue to the contrary, and again, I'm talking in riddles here because you either know or you don't know, that something must have gone tragically wrong. And I think the thing that fascinates me the most is that there used to be a time where we would debate this in terms of what it was as opposed to what it's not. So we'll use Mass Effect 3 as an example. So I brought other examples into this because I think it's good. In Mass Effect 3, and I am going to spoil Mass Effect 3 because that came out in like 2011 or some shit. If you haven't played Mass Effect 3, that's not my problem. And again, we're going to talk about the stature limitations down the line. But in Mass Effect 3, it ends with Captain Shepard. If you don't know, it's a space game. That's all it is. It's just Star Wars. BioWare made Star Wars. And I was like, it's great. But you get to the end of the game and you meet some space kid, some space ghost kid. And he basically goes, look, man, I'm Thanos. He's basically Thanos. And he says, I can click my fingers and I can change the world. How would you like me to change it? And you have three options. And all the Mass Effect fans decided this was a terrible ending. There was too many plot holes in it. And EA should change it. And BioWare should change it. That's what happens. I liked it. I liked the debate. I thought Mass Effect 3 ending was okay. Not great. A bit disappointing. But I thought, well, it's an amazing trilogy. Probably go down as one of the best ever. It's hard to end those things. But it created such a backlash that EA and BioWare, they did it. They actually went and released DLC, and this is where video games have, well, you can argue either a benefit or a disadvantage over something like a movie or a TV show, which is not going to do this. They went back and they patched it with an update to, literally appease the people that were upset. And I got no problem with that. As long as everyone's happy, that's cool. But I also think to myself, why? why are we doing this? Like, this is somebody's vision, right? This is what they wanted to do. And isn't it, I don't know, I just think it's too much. I think it's too much. I think we need to start, you know, just appreciating a piece of entertainment for what it is. And you can say that it's shite. And you can say that it's crap. And you can pick holes in it and say, well, that doesn't make sense and this doesn't make sense. But to start a petition saying that, well, there's two things. One, the Game of Thrones should change its arc. That's mad to me. But two, this is the other thing it ties into. I think this is the thing that pissed people off a lot. The people that have made this season's Game of Thrones have been confirmed, or at least there's a strong rumor, I can't remember which it is now, that they're also they're on board with the new Star Wars movies that Disney announced recently. Obviously, we've got Skywalker Rises Up, whatever the hell episode 9 is called. I can't remember the name, genuinely. You've got that coming out. But some people truly believe now that because they're invested in doing that, they don't have enough time. They didn't have enough time to do Game of Thrones, and they rushed it. That is conspiracy theories gone mad. I'm pretty sure that Game of Thrones Season 8 is one of the most expensive TV shows ever made. And hey, man, one of the reasons for that is the fan following that it's got. So again, if you want to criticize it, you can go nuts. But I don't think that's the case. And I like the idea of being able to take a character, making them do something that potentially you didn't see them doing, but giving them the benefit of the doubt that maybe over the next two episodes this will be justified, or just accepting that sometimes people change their minds. That tied into Endgame as well. Small spoilers for Endgame, but nothing massive. Some people thought that the version of Thanos in Endgame was too far of a departure from the one in Infinity War. Because, you know, after what I deemed to be a pretty justifiable reason, you know, because he couldn't wipe out the Avengers. He got so pissed off, he just decided he was going to kill all humankind and start again. People were like, well, no, that's not what he said in the first film. And I was like, yeah, but it's not the first film. It's the second film. And he's already achieved his goals and then found out through the magic of time travel that he's still that they're trying to stop him. So now he's really pissed off. That makes sense. Shout out to Jeffrey Pridemore in the Super Chat. As always, you can ask your questions in the Super Chat. It makes a good point. We fall into that trap as wrestling fans. It didn't go the way we thought, so that automatically makes it bad, and that's not the case. It's true. It's true. And sometimes, you know, it's all right to be disappointed by a storyline. And sometimes it's all right to watch a storyline and go, oh, I predicted this, because you probably predicted it because it makes the most sense, you know. And again, now this is the other thing that happens now. People that are mad at Game of Thrones and agree with this petition will be like, oh, Miller's take is rubbish and Miller doesn't. And that's the problem. That's what we've got to stop doing. We've just got to have conversations about this kind of stuff. I don't know. I just thought it was amazing. I thought it was amazing that there could be so much of a reaction to... It goes both ways with Game of Thrones, because in the 24, 48 hours after Game of Thrones, you get people going absolutely crazy about spoilers. And within that same remit, you've got people that have seen it, in this instance, going, well, it's crap too. It's just like, who would get into Game of Thrones now? Getting into Game of Thrones now is the equivalent of like just drinking some acid. That there is no point. You may think you're going to enjoy that acid, but as soon as you get into it, you know, it's too late. Your insides are being ripped apart. And that, and also, we haven't got to the end of the season yet. So maybe you get to the end of the season and it all makes sense. Some people say, oh, it's so, you know, it's so rushed. Well, they did say it was only going to be 6 episodes. So it's going to be rushed to a certain degree. I just think people need to enjoy things more these days. That's what I think. And no one ever agrees with that. Because if you're really mad about it, again, you've already reacted. But again, I do have a weird take when it comes to spoilers. Like I say, I know so many people, and no one's going to agree with this. And that's fine. You don't have to agree with it. But in terms of people that feel like Game of Thrones is getting, or anything, any kind of entertainment is being spoiled for them on Twitter, it does suck. You're right. But unfortunately, that's just the world that we live in. That's the world that we've created for ourselves. Right? That's what we've done with stuff like Twitter especially, because Twitter is a reactive platform. That's why hashtags exist. That's why Twitter has a whole platform, a whole part of his app, where you click a button and it tells you the things that people are talking about right now. And people are desperate to share their opinions and get involved in that. They want to be one of the, you know, when it says like 183,000 people talking about this. And it's because you want to be one of those 183,000 people talking about it. You want all the takes. You want to throw yourself into it. But then some people say, well, no, this shouldn't be happening because I need to go on Twitter. Now, for starters, no one should ever have to need to go on Twitter. Social media is a crazy place. You should be able to take a day off social media. And I just don't think that's very fair. Like, if I watch something, how am I meant to know when it's okay to talk about? Like, if you're a football fan over here in the UK, Manchester City won the Premier League last weekend. Well, what if I somehow managed to escape all that news? Unlikely. But if I did manage to escape all that news, when am I allowed to talk about it? Or when can I expect other people to talk about it? I'm not saying I'm right or wrong here. I'm just playing devil's advocate and spitballing a thought I had the other day. PJ Barnes in the Super Chat says, how dare you have your own opinion, you know? It's true. That's all it is. And that's why, you know, kind of tying into sort of YouTube backlash when you get comments like, I'll kill you, Simon Miller, which I get all the time. I can't believe you liked that on Raw, Simon. You should die. Like, I do another channel called Rot Reacts where I react to music. I didn't like the new Madonna song. Someone actually said, Simon, I hope Madonna kills you. I should have found that tweet. I'm going to do a little video on that anyway with all the comments. But they wanted Madonna to kill me. Now, I don't think Madonna should be... Madonna's got a successful career. She's, what, in her 60s now? And still a massive name. I don't think she needs to be wasting her time on me. She doesn't need to kill me. That's only going to drag her career down. And also, the person that wrote that comment, I can't understand why they can't just enjoy the Madonna song for them. Me not liking the Madonna song doesn't mean they have to like it any less. They can like that Madonna song as much as they did, but that's what people do. Again, it's reactive. And that's like saying, well, you can't react to YouTube comments straight away. You've got to give it an hour and then decide whether you still want to post it. Because a lot of what people are posting on Twitter is just that. Oh, I can't believe this happened. I'm going to tweet about it. And if, I don't know, Barry in Portsmouth, if you are Barry from Portsmouth, I'm not actually talking about you, I made them up, happens to see it, you're kind of like, well, Barry, if you didn't see Game of Thrones, probably don't go on a platform that's going to do that. Also, maybe try and watch it earlier than you were planning to if it means that much. I just think it's really harsh. I don't, unless, you know, there was a guy in the chat earlier who was deliberately spoiling stuff. In this environment, on my YouTube comments for my podcast, you shouldn't be spoiling anything. That's not fair. But on Twitter, which is a worldwide platform, I think you have to expect spoilers. You have to like them, but you have to expect them. And it should be on you to make sure you stay out of the way. And some people are like, well, my job involves Twitter. All right, we'll go on in the morning, get on TweetDeck, schedule a load of tweets and come off again. I don't think we can get into a place where... I mean, who decides? Who's the Twitter police? Do we just say it's 48 hours before we can talk about it? Well, that doesn't seem fair to me. What if I watch Game of Thrones on a Sunday and I'm busy on a Tuesday and I want to talk about it on a Sunday? I know that it sucks getting things spoiled for you. Of course it does if you're really invested. But you didn't like Game of Thrones anyway this week. So what's the problem? What was spoiled for you? I find it amazing. I really, really, really do. And maybe that's why I built up this resistance where I don't care about spoilers. Because I'm like, well, I'm going to go on Twitter, so I may as well just accept it. And then you just shrug your shoulders. I'm still going to enjoy Game of Thrones. When I go through season 6 and 7, which I know people say are shite, I know, rubbish, rubbish, kill, kill, kill. I think even when I get to 8, knowing what I do know, I'll think, yeah, it's fun. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed seeing... That's my thing when it comes to characters. I just enjoy seeing the arc that somebody writes for them. It may not be the arc that I expected or the arc that I wanted, but I'm just intrigued to see somebody's take. I think that's where the cool thing comes in. So, again, not spoiling it, but referencing the person that... Again, if you don't know, you don't know. But with the Dragon Queen, we'll just call her that, that's fair. With the Dragon Queen, I think it's kind of cool what they did. I need to see it, obviously, to get a better idea. I may not like it as much, but for everything I took in, I was like, okay, that's the way you decided to go. Excuse me. I'll now see how it plays out. And that's my thing with entertainment. I much prefer to just see how somebody else wants it to play out and then ride that wave, as opposed to being like, well, I had this one way I saw it going, and now it hasn't happened, I'm going to sign a petition. How many people signed that petition? It's like 20,000 people. I haven't got time to sign a Game of Thrones petition. Do you know how happy I'd be if my only problem in life today was I was mad at Game of Thrones? That would be awesome. I think if that's the only thing you got to be mad about today, you're having a great life. I really, really, really do. And I also think it's cool that you've invested so much in a show. And that's why I don't think you can say it's that terrible. Well, you can look at it either way. But I don't think you can say it's that terrible if you love something that much. Because you must have got so much joy out of it. And that can work both ways too, because it means they can disappoint you. It's like a loved one, right? Or a family member. Who can hurt you more than your partner? Nobody. Because you've invested your trust and your worth and your time in them, and you expect a little something certain back. So when you don't get it, you're disappointed. It's that classic line. Terrence Karen says, I hope Daenerys comes from you, Simon. That's my arc. Well, she may do. Madonna's coming to kill me. Do you know how freaked out I'd be if Madonna knocked on my door? One, how the hell did she find out where I lived? That would be my first question. Like, Madonna, before you stab me in the face, can you please tell me where you got my address from? And two, why do you care if I like your song or not? What difference? Who am I? I'm nobody. I'm a bald guy on YouTube. Madonna don't need to worry about me. Madonna's probably sold 200 million records or something crazy like that. That's just what I think. But I get that I'm different. I'm immune to spoilers. That's like my superpower. That's what I would be. If I was in the Marvel Universe and I was an Avenger, I'd be like, spoiler boy. Actually, that's a great villain. Some guy that just runs around and spoils shit for each other. But I don't want to do that. I don't want to spoil things for anybody else. It can't affect me. You can tell me anything. And I'll be a bit like, oh, that's a shame. I'd rather not have known. But then I just shrug my shoulders because I'm like, well, that's not the end of the world, is it? I'll go do something else. I'll go to the gym or do something like that. But, oh, here we go. I knew this person would come. Why are you talking about this when you haven't even watched it, man? Because I'm allowed to. Again, all these rules. All these crazy rules that people come up with. I'm not allowed to talk about something because I haven't watched it. I explained to you how I know what's going on and explained that I'll watch it down the line. We live in a nuts world where all these makeshift, invisible rules just appear. You can do whatever you want as long as it's morally okay. And as long as you're not hurting anybody else. This is a free podcast. And it's okay to say that Game of Thrones has flaws. I'm not saying that. I just think you don't need to go crazy about it. But you are allowed to go crazy too. That's just my opinion. And that's what Why With Simon Miller is all about. I look at what's going on in the news. And I just want to talk about stuff. And this week, I saw someone in particular. I won't name and shame them because that's not fair. They were going crazy about Game of Thrones spoilers. Crazy. Like calling people effing this and effing that. And they're threatening them. And I was like, I just wanted to go. I didn't mention it because I thought I'm going to wait for it on here. I just wanted to go, bro, man, it's okay. It's okay. I'm sorry these people hurt you. And I'll bring you a cookie or something like that. That's my, I will get around to watching it. And maybe I'll hate it too. But I'll just blink and go, yeah, all right, let's move on. At least it's got dragons in it. Everybody loves dragons. This kind of ties into the Jeremy Kyle show too. That's the other big news at least in the British press this week. I doubt it made it to America. But you know what Jeremy Kyle is like. If you don't, I'll tell you. Jeremy Kyle is, I wouldn't call it an updated version of Jerry Springer. I would call it a more seedy. Jerry Springer was pretty seedy. A more, aggressive is not the right word, just a shit show. So Jeremy Kyle was a guy that would get people onto his TV program and they would take lie detector tests. So maybe they were having an affair, maybe they'd lied about money or stolen a watch, and they would get grilled by Jeremy Kyle before being attached to a lie detector, and then the lie detector would tell them something else. And the real controversy this week was somebody killed themselves, which is unbelievable. They committed suicide after being on the Jeremy Kyle show because he was in a relationship with a woman and, the woman thought he was cheating. They did a lie detector test and the lie detector test said that he was guilty. And take that for what it's worth. This clearly had such a mental effect on him that he decided to take his own life. The show got pulled and then the show got cancelled altogether a few days later. Now, that aside, I've watched the Jeremy Kyle show from time to time. It airs in the daytime here. So it's basically, if you're ever off work sick or you're eating your lunch and you're at home, you watch Jeremy Kyle. Shadow Warrior says it's like Dr. Phil. It's like Dr. Phil, a hack. There we go. So the US people, that's what it's for. So, and I used to watch it. I didn't watch it much because I couldn't. It was just so distasteful to me. Like, I don't know how, you know, a lie detector test is not 100% accurate anyway. And because of the people they were getting on, all to me seemed a bit, I mean, mentally disturbed is a bit much, but mentally unstable, I think, is fair. It was all people that, you know, I don't mean that in an insulting way, but it was all people that didn't really have their lives together, their confidence was shot, and there was a lot of bad blood anyway. So hooking someone up to a lie detector test when their adrenaline and cortisone is probably through the roof to begin with. I was like, well, how can that be, you know, how can that be a fair examination of anything? I'm not saying there weren't some awful people on there. There absolutely were. And I'm sure some people got their just rewards. But overall, that was always my thing. I was like, you got to be pretty calm to take a lie detector test and get good results. If you're already freaked out, anyway, it would destroy people's lives. And I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it that we got to a point where people were committing suicide. I mean, fair play. I say fair play to ITV for canning it. But then another part of me was like, this show should have been canned. This show should never even existed. It should have been canned years ago. It was reality TV designed like a freak show back in the day. If you don't know, medieval times? No, earlier than that. Victorian times, I should say. Something medieval times. That's way too long ago. During Victorian times, right, you had a freak show. And a freak show was, we roll out a bunch of people that are freaks. So maybe they had, oh, I don't know, three hands or four nipples or five legs or two heads. The two heads one wasn't real. That was a gimmick, but still. And people would point and laugh at them. And that's always what I thought the Jeremy Kyle show was, and kind of what a reality TV show is in general. If you go back to sort of, you know, Big Brother, another person that actually suffered huge tragedy, which was Jay Goody, who was on Big Brother over here in the UK and passed away from breast cancer. You know, the media at the time, you know, ha, 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 look at Jade Goody. She's a moron. And to be fair to Jade Goody, she actually did a lot with that, and she was able to turn it into a career and a profession, and awfully, through her death, did raise awareness for breast cancer. Well, obviously, that wasn't part of the plan, but still. So I'm not saying that good can't come out of these things, but it, I don't know, those shows just irk me, and I would never usually have talked about them otherwise, but when it came up and when it got cancelled, and I thought to myself, so the only way we get this stuff cancelled, now the government is looking into it, of course, they're gonna see what's going on, but the only way we get there is if someone kills themselves. And let's say the dude did have an affair, right? I've never had an affair in my life. I don't agree with it. I think it's a terrible thing to do, especially, again, talking about what we earlier, like even Game of Thrones, right? You put your trust in Game of Thrones, and when it scorns you, you feel hurt, and you sign a petition going, boo, boo, Game of Thrones. That's even worse when it's a real person. So if you put your trust in someone and they screw you over, that's awful. So, I know there's extenuating circumstances. You may be in a happy relationship or an abusive relationship. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking two people in a relationship. One person goes out there, has sex with someone else, doesn't tell the other person. That's what I'm talking about. When it's all top line stuff. You know, I don't agree with that. But, you know, rolling them out onto TV to prod them and go, oh, you asshole, how dare you do this in front of an audience that's cheering. And Jeremy Kyle, who did used to get pretty riled up, if I do say so myself. Like his what's the word I'm looking for? But the way he conducted himself was a bit like a man that had a match and wanted to see how much gasoline he could pour on the floor before throwing the match into it and then seeing what was going to happen. That's, you know, that I can't, it lasted for like 14 years. I guess it because it had an audience. You wouldn't show if it didn't have an audience. And again, daytime TV, a lot of people just sit there and watch the same channel all day. But it blew my brain. It really, really did blow my brain. Like, you should never, ever be putting someone into mental anguish where they want to take their own life. Suicide is a problem all on its own anyway. Like, we don't talk about it enough. We don't talk about mental health enough. If you've been visited my YouTube channel, which you may be on now, please subscribe. You will know how much I'm an advocate. I'm an advocate for this. But, you know, we should be able to talk more openly about this stuff. And the way to do that is not by getting prodded on TV by Jeremy Kyle. That's just how I see it. What a crazy situation that was with the guy taking his own life. At least it's gone. I mean, that's not the way it should have to go. Someone saying that the comparison is a bit much. That was a joke. It was Terrence. It was a joke, Terrence. I was being facetious and over the top. It's just a little joke. Also just a little joke. But no, that was... Sometimes things come out in the news and you're just like, man, how the flip did that happen? It also goes to show how crazy... Because I learned about both these stories in the same way. like, again, through social media. And it was hilarious. It wasn't hilarious, but it was whatever the right word would be. On one hand, you got people just raging at Game of Thrones. On the other hand, you got people raging at the Jeremy Kyle show for a completely different reason. And you're like, man, social media, just a big rage. It's just a big rage. Also, let me know what you wanted from Game of Thrones, too. That's the other thing we should probably be talking about. What did you want from Game of Thrones? What did you want Daenerys Targaryen to do? She is the daughter of the Mad King. It's like being bald, right? Being bald. Do you think I want to be bald? Absolutely not. But it's genetics. My dad made me bald, and I can't even blame him because his dad made him bald. I don't know about my great-granddad. I do. He was bald, too. So where does it end? Where does the buck lie? It's all genetics. I don't know if anybody in the comments has lost their hair or people listening at home. It's awful. I'm yet to meet somebody that lost their hair gracefully. Or if they did, they kept it quiet. Or they pretended, I should say. But deep down, they were freaking out about it. It's a horrible thing because it comes down to control, right? You want to be able to control everything. Not everything, but certain aspects of your life. I had really long hair when I started losing my hair. Really long. And I loved that long hair. And I remember I was walking down the road one day. I caught myself in the mirror. And I had my little ponytail going on. And I could see like a little hole forming. And I was like, ah, shit. So I cut my hair off like a week later. And I went to a hairdresser and I said, look, here's what I want you to do. You can cut it in a way that makes it look, you know, not as bad, right? I absolutely can. Her name was Sian. And I went to Sian for years. And then after a couple of years, even Sian was like, Simon, it's done. I can't help you anymore. Awful. And then you have to go and shave it off. I've told this story before. When I first shaved my head, it was in one of those, fuck it, I'm going to do it now. I think a lot of people do that. You just wake up one day like, screw it, I'm taking it off. And I did it with a beard trimmer. Because in my head, I was like, ah, beard trimmer, hair trimmer, what's the difference? Massive difference. Don't ever shave your head with a beard trimmer. Worst idea ever. Worst idea ever. Use an official licensed hair trimming product if you're ever going to shave your head. Otherwise, you'll end up like me, which was with this like half haircut. I had to go to the hairdressers the next day, like with my head down, as if I disappointed my own mum and been like, can you please sort my hair? And they're like, what did you do? And I had to utter the words, I shaved it with a beard trimmer. That's a bad day. I just shook my head then. You can't see that if you're listening on audio. I shook my head. And that was that. I didn't want that to happen. But it was genetics. And it comes after you like a bad habit. Not as bad as my brother. My brother lost his hair when he was 18. So I can't be that mad, right? Imagine losing your hair at 18. You barely had a chance. You want to lose your hair when you're in your mid-40s and you've settled down. You've got a partner and you're all calm and you haven't got to worry about that stuff anymore. You're like, it's all good. We're done. We can move forward with this. Sucks. I'd say what else I was reminded the other day. Somebody asked me a very weird question. They said, Simon, have you ever been racially abused? You'll be surprised to hear this was on the internet. And that just cracked me up anyway, because I love the idea of somebody wanting to know that. They're just sat around on like a Monday and they're like, oh, I wonder if Simon Miller ever been racially abused. And you're like, well, I'm glad that you had this thought. I'm glad that you care about me to this amount. And actually, the answer is yes. I mean, there's the whole Jewish thing, but we've talked about that before. I want to talk about more specifics. And I thought, oh, that's a little story I can tell. And it happened when I was in Japan. Now, Japan is a wonderful place. I've only been there once. I would like to go back again. But it's a place where, you know, there's vending machines on the street with beer cans because they know that no one's going to take advantage of it. And you've got toilets that have see-through doors. And when you lock them, they all glass up, whatever that effect is called, so nobody can see in. That's a terrifying thing. I used a Japanese toilet in Tokyo Airport, and I was, you know, I needed to go, and you turn around and you realize the glass door is see-through and everyone can see you, and you're like, wait a minute, I don't know what's going on here. And then you lock the door and it all glasses up and no one can see it, or frosts up I should say, and no one can see you. You're like, wow, that's amazing. But yeah, I was on I think it was the bullet train or one of the trains or something. Also, trains in Japan are amazing. 10:01, if it's gonna be, it says 10:01, it's there at 10:01, and if it arrives at 10:01 and 10 seconds, you get an apology. If you've ever been to the UK and used a train, if it's 10:01 and it arrives at like 4 p.m., you're like, oh, sweet, I can get to where I want to get to now. People take tents to train stations in the UK because they don't know when a train is going to turn up. And when you try and complain, National Rail is just like, yeah, but what did you want us to do about it? Well, I just thought maybe you could get the train on time. Yeah, but we didn't. That's the end of it goes. I don't know anybody that's ever got their money back on a train journey. That's not true. I know loads of people. But that's amazing. But yeah, I was on one of those trains and I heard some people giggling and laughing at me. And I turned around and it was two Japanese dudes literally pointing and going, white guy. I was like, that's interesting. That's different. And I wouldn't say that I necessarily, well, I didn't enjoy it. That's not the right word at all. But I just found it fascinating. That's all I wanted to throw out there. Simply because somebody mentioned it to me on Twitter. I was just a bit like, wow. And you can't, I guess the point is, you kind of realize when you've grown up in some privilege, being the fact that I'm a white male, there is privilege there, whether people want to accept it or not. It is true. That can happen and you just shrug it off. Just shrug it off like, yeah, whatever. Because there are certain ethnicities that are not able to do that, is my point. But yeah, because somebody asked, I remembered that. That was 11 years ago when I was a much younger man. I went out there as well to see a THQ wrestling game. Was it THQ? It must have been THQ. It must have been one of the Raw versus SmackDowns. I can't remember it. I do remember there was some misconstruation with the developer because I was still lifting weights then. And the developer had got it into their head that I was a wrestler. And obviously there's a language barrier there. And I was trying to explain that I wasn't, but they were convinced that I was. These are the people at Ukes. This week, Ukes has now announced another game to go alongside their 2K franchise. I mean, it'll be published by 2K, but the point is Ukes is going to make two wrestling games. So this is by those people. I'm sure it's not the same people, but we will have moved on. And, you know, they had this sort of wrestling mat set up that sometimes they did moves on each other when they were trying to help animate them. I don't know these people. I've only been in Japan like a day, so I'm jet-lagged anyway, still freaked out by my toilet. And they were all like, can you slam us? I was like, look, I can slam you, but it's really important you realize I don't have any training. I'm not a wrestler. They're like, no, slam us. So I spent like 15, 20 minutes like slamming the lead animator of Ukes. What if I had killed him? That'd have been bad. Like Madonna earlier, trying to kill me. I'd love the fact. If you're on YouTube now and you've just tuned in then, what a wonderful time to tune in. Me talking about Madonna trying to kill me. YouTube comments are the best. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do a video on my YouTube channel so just reacting to comments because there's so many good ones recently. People get so mad, so wound up, and I kind of love it. As long as I elicit some kind of reaction, I think I'm happy. I'm a very simple man. But yeah, I did spend my summer 10, 11 years ago slamming people from Ukes into a mat and hoping that I wasn't going to break them. And now I probably wouldn't do it either. Because that's a bad story too. I mean, now I've got some training. If I start slamming people and it goes wrong, that's a headline I don't want to be involved with. That's a headline I don't want to be involved with at all. Wrestler kills Japanese video game developer. How do you even justify that? You don't. You just don't. It's bad. It's bad all round. I'm trying to think what else happened this week. I've always got some notes down there that I kind of look at. But I kind of just like to go out of a whim. The one thing that I'm getting a lot in the comments I can see. And please do ask some questions too. I'll absolutely answer as many questions as I can. You can ask whatever you want. It's the best thing with Why With Simon Miller. We do the wrestling podcast on a Wednesday. Or the Tuesday, I should say, this week. Whenever, Tuesday, Wednesday. But you can ask whatever you want. Literally, you can ask me the weirdest questions ever. And that's cool. But that's the reason I started this podcast, because I just wanted to talk about randomly about stuff, because I find it fascinating. There are certain things in the world that you want to talk about, but you can't because you haven't got an outlet for it. And you thought, screw it, man, I'm just going to start chatting about it. If people watch, great. If people listen, great. If they don't, excuse me, we can just move on to whatever next. And then, of course, something huge happens in wrestling. Like yesterday, the AEW deal gets announced. The 24 hours after I've done my podcast, I'm like, ah, hey ho, that is nuts. And we're not going to talk about wrestling much on this podcast. We've got a dedicated podcast to it. But if you are a long-term wrestling fan, obviously, AEW going on to TNT, which was the former home of WCW, is pretty nuts. I mean, that really, really is pretty nuts. I mean, what a world. I mean, WCW went out of business in 2001 in March or April, whichever one it was. So we're 19 years removed. 18 years removed. And wrestling is back on TNT. And they say wrestling is reciprocal. You see? Reciprocal, what did I say? I don't know what I just said then. Cyclical is what I meant to say. I think I said reciprocal. I'm very tired, man. I really am. People always ask me that. They say, Simon, how do you do all these things that you do? Because I do this, I've got the wrestling, I'm in a band, I do weights. And I mean, you do give up sleep, but I'm all right with it. Sometimes people go, Simon, you look well tired. I'm like, I am tired. So when you go to do karaoke and you're crap, and someone goes, that was crap, you're like, yeah. What did you expect? Did you expect Freddie Mercury? Or like, I don't know, who else is a really good singer? I can't remember. We'll go Freddie Mercury. He's probably the best one ever. Because if you did, I kind of think that the problem is with you. your expectations were way too high. If I see somebody go up to do karaoke, I'm going to assume they're terrible. Not terrible, but I don't expect to be blown away. It's karaoke. Now, you do get those people that are well good at singing and they know it, and they take advantage of the karaoke idea, but I can't control that. But it's the same kind of thing. It's like, what did you expect? Like when you get sunburned, Millie, you look well burned. I know, I have a mirror. I've seen it. What exactly do you want me to do with that information? I'm already smearing myself with sun lotion and aloe vera. Shadow Warrior says, Simon, do you fear any other celebrities other than Madonna? I don't fear Madonna. I fear Madonna killing me. There's a difference. And again, I never introduced the fact that Madonna could kill me into the conversation. That was done by a crazy person in Rock React's comments who didn't like the fact that I didn't like a Madonna song. Are they still sitting there now? Like, I can't believe it. This guy I'd never seen before doesn't like a Madonna song. I don't get why people get so precious. Like, I remember once I got a tweet. I said I didn't like Dark Souls or whatever. And someone replied to me, well, I don't like Gears of War, Miller. I was like, all right. I love Gears of War. I still do. It's not my child. Like, if Gears of War was my son and you told me, Miller, I hate your son, I'm like, well, that's personal. And he's just a kid. Of course he's going to be a dick. He's got to grow up and learn. At least hate him when he's 18. And if I've done a bad job, then you can do it. But Gears of War is just a thing. I know it's animated, but it's inanimate in the sense it just sits there and you put it in a machine. Very weird. But yeah, I don't fear Madonna. I would do if she turns up my door with like an Uzi, but I'd fear anyone that turned up at my house with an Uzi. Like, who's the least threatening person ever? Ron Howard. If Ron Howard turned up at my door with an Uzi, I'd be like, Ron, is it a prop? And if he said nah, I'd be like, shit, I don't want to get killed by Ron Howard. It wouldn't be a happy day, would it? Worst joke I've ever told. Tyler Schmidt, who's your favourite guitarist? James Hetfield. It's a boring answer, but I'm obsessed with Metallica. Kirk Hammett obviously is in there as well, but James Hetfield is my favourite. Joe Satriani. Who else would be? The Yngwie Malmsteen. I do like a bit of wanky guitar. That's why Michael Romeo as well from Symphony X. I really, really like him. But it's all the classics. Like Jimi Hendrix, brilliant. Stevie Ray Vaughan, amazing. The guy, whoever did this solo in the Eagles, I can't remember now. Don Henley was the drummer, wasn't he? I can't remember the guitarist in the Eagles, but he is vastly underrated. The problem with the Eagles are, especially Hotel California, which is probably the best solo of all time, but people expect it's the best solo of all time. That's the thing. When something becomes a stereotype, you're screwed. If you say, oh, that's a boring answer, I'm like, yeah, but it got there for a reason. When you actually sit down and listen to that Hotel California solo, and the harmonies and how long it goes on for not being boring, which is already coming off a song that's pretty damn long. All about cocaine, by the way, if you don't know. Or some kind of drugs. Who even knows? Who even knows? It's pretty, you know, and it stood the test of time. And it has some personal stuff to me, which we'll talk about, because I said we'll talk about personal stuff. My dad played me that in a car when I was 16 years old. I just started learning guitar, and I was out. He had driven me to my current girlfriend's house. And he wouldn't let me leave the car until I'd heard the Hotel California solo. And at first, I was like, Dad, this is well weird. Like, my girlfriend's in there. You know, I'm 16 years old. I mean, nothing was going down like that, but you're getting all, like, jacked up and stuff. And I listened to it, and it did. It was one of those moments like, oh, man, Dad, you're so right. It's so right. It's amazing. It's absolutely brilliant. And it was absolutely brilliant. And to this day, every time I hear it. Poor shout out to Kat Burling as well. Haven't chatted to Kat Burling in 12 years. Membranes are weird. Poor Kat Burling, who was my next door neighbour in my student union halls, had to sit there, probably with earmuffs on, as I tried to learn the Hotel California solo on my Ibanez, whatever the flip it was, in my first year of university. That must have been hell. That's not something you learn without headphones. That should be guitar etiquette. If you're going to learn one of these solos, headphones. Don't subject other people to that. I'm all right at it now. All right, at best. I wouldn't play it in front of anyone. So back then, shite. Shite. So shout out to Kat Burling. I had to go through that all of, a very long time ago. A very long time ago now. Tyler Schmidt, Hotel California is my favourite solo ever. You see? People get it. KJ, quick question. Not really Game of Thrones related, but your $50 patron tier, do the shirts ship to the US? That's a cheap plug. Thanks, KJ. Yep, shirts ship everywhere. We've sent stuff to New Zealand, America, India. They go all over. It takes a long time to get to you, but that's not my fault. That's airmail. That ties into something else. But it will get to you. And if it doesn't, you let me know and we figure it out. Shout out to Arf, who says, in my opinion, November Rain takes that title, talking about greatest solos ever. Good shout. Good shout, man. That's up there as well. This is why I love this podcast. I don't think it's ever going to blow up and be massive, but we're just talking about stuff. When I started talking about Game of Thrones, who knew we'd get to Hotel California? November Rain. Isn't November Rain also, it's probably changed now, but wasn't it the most expensive video ever? We've got to look it up. It's going to make my table wiggle, so I apologize. But now we need to talk about that. Most expensive music video ever. There we go. Cheers, Google. Madonna's in there. Well, this is from Forbes. I don't know how true this is going to be. This is from Forbes, and it was written 5 years ago. So that should be up there. So at number five, we've got Michael Jackson, Black or White, $6.9 million. Apparently original $4 million, so I think he's adjusted for inflation. Number four, she's becoming the theme of this podcast. I love it. This is why these are good. Who knew this would happen? It's Madonna with Bedtime Story. We'll go with the original price. Originally $5 million. Number three is Madonna again with Die Another Day. What are you doing, Madonna? For $6.1 million, although I imagine that James Bond just paid for that because it was a James Bond song. Number two is Madonna again with Express Yourself at $5 million. Well, that doesn't make sense. Oh, because you put inflation into it. What are you talking about? The numbers change. I don't know what this article is. And apparently the most expensive video ever is Scream at $10.7 million. Obviously, it's Michael Jackson and Janet Jackson. Is that true? I'm going on Wikipedia. I don't believe that now. Oh, no, here we go. It was, okay. It is correct. Although this one has Guns N' Roses. That's estranged at number five. Well, where the hell? I don't know. There's some weird people in there. Apparently Miami's in the top 20. Yeah, you got Guns N' Roses and November Rain is down there. I'm getting one more up because I don't believe it. Here we go. This was done at the start of the year. This is on CBS, which has got so many pop-ups. It's insane. Right, the top 20 most expensive videos ever made. Scream, Michael Jackson. Die Another Day by Madonna. Express Yourself, Madonna. Bedtime Story by Madonna. Madonna! Estranged by Guns N' Roses. Black or White by Michael Jackson. Made Me Like You by Gwen Stefani. Cartoon Heroes by Aqua. 9 by Puff Daddy. And 10 Too Legit to Quit by MC Hammer. Well, that's a crazy lineup, isn't it? Shout out to Ibanai as well in the super chat. Appreciate it. Have to listen to later at work. Hand on heart, Simon. I love that caught on. I love the hand of heart caught on. Thanks, Ibanai. You're a good supporter. I appreciate it. So there we go. We put that one to bed. I know you clicked this hoping to find out what the top five most expensive music videos ever were. A lot of people knew that as well. Fair play. A lot of people knew it. And KJ says Madonna is just pooping out money. Does she still poop out money now? Does she make money? What do people think of that song as well? No, I don't want to talk about it. Andrew Adams, Simon, what is your favorite TV show? Ever? Oh, I don't know, man. I mean, Seinfeld is up there. I think that's a masterpiece. So is Curb Your Enthusiasm. Curb Your Enthusiasm, actually, that ties into today's episode. So Larry David, if you don't know, who's the star of Curb Your Enthusiasm. The Larry David he plays in the show is kind of the version he wishes he could be, but knows a lot of his opinions are bullshit when you actually take society into account. I think that's kind of how I look at Twitter and social media. A small part of me is like, well, just get off it then, buffoon. But then my more nice side is like, well, that's not fair. People just want to enjoy things. And if we were nice to each other as a human race, we could do that. But they'd be up there. Narcos season one. I know that's weird. But I just love it. I think I was just in the right place to enjoy it. There'll be more that I'm not thinking of too. Somebody will say something and I'll go, I mean, at a point it would have been Game of Thrones. Obviously that fell apart because if that was true, I would have watched season 6 or 7. But that did fly up for me for a while. I was like, Game of Thrones is absolutely brilliant. I'm trying to think what other TV shows I've watched is. I don't know. But I mean, Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld are always the two that pop up. Because I think Curb Your Enthusiasm is just genius. And I think Seinfeld is the same. The only problem with Seinfeld nowadays is the first however many seasons, maybe 3 or 4, aren't that great. But you have to get through them to enjoy the really, really good ones because they do so much sort of pre-planning in those early seasons. They do so many callbacks that if you don't watch them, you have no idea what's going on. No ideas what's going on. Some people are saying Sopranos, The Wire, The Office. Actually, I preferred Extras to The Office. I know that's another raging debate, but it's true. Extras is my favourite Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant project. I think that was awesome. Okeho Skater said, who inspired you to learn to play guitar? That was James Hetfield again. It was Metallica. That's what happened. I think we've told this story. I listened to Metallica in a car when I was 16 years old, and I was so inspired. I went out the next day, and I bought all Metallica's records at the time. So it would have been up to Reload and Garage and S&M. S&M would have been out. And I bought a guitar. I bought a £20 guitar from Argos. Had those nylon strings. When you pluck it, it goes ding, and then there's no reverb or not reverb. I can't think of the right word. Stupid brain. You know what I'm talking about. Somebody else will probably say it in a minute. It was rubbish. However, I learned everything on that guitar. I've still got it to this day at my parents' house. And I'll never sell it because, A, what's it worth? Like a pound? What's the point? But it's just the best. Yeah, the absolute best. And then I can't remember. My guitar lists, I always forget the names of guitars because I'm a moron. But I bought that. Then I bought this Ibanez, which is over there in the corner, which I also won't sell. I bought that with my first... You know when you go to university, you get a student loan? I went out and bought a guitar and an amp. Because I'm a stupid kid. How am I meant to eat? What a moron. Then I bought the ESP... EX751? I think that's what it's called. The big metal thing with the Explorer with the big metal on it. The steel. Yeah, because I'm fucking tough. And I bought the Explorer, the Truckster. The ESP Truckster. Because again, I love James Hetfield. I just wanted his guitar. And then like, a couple of years ago, I bought this Taylor Acoustic. I've wanted it for ages. Which lives in a case over there. And I never play because I'm terrified of it. I need to stop doing that. It's ridiculous. But yeah, it was. It was James Hetfield and Metallica changed my life. Which I know, it makes you want to punch me in the face when I say that. And you're allowed. But it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. I actually prefer the US over the UK one, says Arf. I think I do. I've seen more of the US office than I have the... Well, no, that's not true. I've seen all the UK office. But because there's more of the US office, I found myself investing more in that than I did the UK one. That's just the way it is. Extras was still my favourite of all of theirs. I haven't seen... Is it Life is Strange? No, that's the video game. Whatever Ricky Gervais's latest project is, I haven't seen yet. It's on Netflix. I'm sure I'll watch it at some point. Right, that's enough for episode 3. We talked about Game of Thrones. We talked about Twitter. We've talked about the alleged rampaging murderer that is Madonna. Obviously, it's a joke for anybody that may come in and not take that seriously. Again, whichever one you're doing, please go do the other because it helps. So if you haven't subscribed to my YouTube channel, search for Cy Miller on YouTube. It's a little picture. I'm going to change the picture, but for now, it's a little cartoon with me holding weights. So please subscribe. And if you haven't signed up to iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, whatever, please do go subscribe. Please do give the thing 5 stars so we can move up the ratings. Because hopefully, long term, this has a bigger scope for a bigger audience. I don't think it will be because it's just me talking nonsense. But you never know. And again, it's all supported by patreon.com/SimonMiller316. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at SimonMiller316. I think that's everything. I don't think there's anything else to talk about. We will drop it live every Thursday, hopefully a bit earlier than I did it this one, but that's all good. Now I'm off to make some more lovely video content because I'm very blessed in the sense that's what I do. Enjoy your Wednesdays. I hope you, well, I should say that 24 hours ago. But in terms of today, enjoy your Thursdays. And actually, we'll end with this. Because Andrew Adams threw it in there and I saw it. How did the Y series, What Culture, get creative thought of? It's a nice, simple story. And people ask me that all the time. So anyone that lasted to the end gets a nice story. I was working for What Culture. Everybody had a series of their own. I was told if I wanted to come up with my own series, I could, which was very nice. I pitched the Y series because I said we could do videos like why John Cena, you know, is underrated or why John Cena is actually the greatest wrestler ever. I didn't actually mean these things, but I thought they made for good devil's advocate type debates, which we did today as well. I always like looking at the other side of the coin. And the whole slapping my head thing came about because I said I needed some kind of catchphrase. Everyone on YouTube's got a little catchphrase they do. So I said, well, I can ask the question, pose the topic and go, why? Here's why. I just thought it was a nice segue. And I noticed in the comments people were repeating it, so I thought, cool. And then I thought, okay, well, it's a bit straight and it's a bit boring. And I'm a bit nuts anyway. So I thought, why don't I just slap my head? I just slap my head halfway through or in the middle of those two things because it made me laugh. I thought, wouldn't it be fun? A lot of my skits just makes me laugh when I think about it. For example, there's a Y video going up soon where I say that Vince McMahon has pitched to Drew McIntyre that he's going to have an egg gimmick. That's not funny, but it makes me laugh because I'm 12. So I did that, and it mostly was met with confusion of people going, why did he just slap his head? And when I saw that, I thought, okay, well, now I slap my head twice. Now I do it 4 times, 8 times, 12 times until it, you know, developed into what it is today. And in fact, saying that, please do watch the next Y video where it goes live. It's called Why Triple H is Frustrated with Vince McMahon because I've evolved it again. I thought it was time. So keep an eye out for that. Right, that's enough. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining me. I always appreciate it. Table will wobble as I click things like an idiot that I am. I'll talk to you later.